Parsha Noach details for us the famous story of the Mabul, the destruction of the world. The end of Perek Zion, the seventh chapter, we read how everything was destroyed, and all the flesh that moves upon the earth expired, among the birds, the animals, the beasts, and all the creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all mankind, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of everything that was on dry land died, complete annihilation. And he blotted out all the existence that was on the face of the ground, from man to animals, to creeping things, and to the birds of the heaven, they were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah survived, and those with him in the ark, and the water strengthened on the earth 150 days, and Parakhet begins, Vayitzkor Elokim et Noah, and Hashem remembered Noah. When we describe only Noah survived, Ach Noah, Rashi tells us, Levan Noah, Noah alone survived. Ach Noah, only Noah. The word Ach, we know. There's certain words which come as limitation and certain words that come to add. Ach comes to limit. Only Noah survived and none of the other members of humanity, except for those within his family. But as Lekach V'Libuv notes in Source 3, V'tzarich Peresh Halok Far Kativ Shakol Nevad V'im Kein Vaday Sherak Noach Nishar. I mean, that's pretty obvious. What is Rashi trying to tell us by saying only Noah survived? And because of this, Rashi brings a medrash. Umedrash Agada, continuing in 2a. He was coughing and retching blood because of the trouble for caring for the animals and beasts. And as the art scroll Chumash Rashi points out in the footnotes in 2b, here it implies that Noah himself was minimized, not in comparison to humanity, but Ach Noah, within himself, there was some diminution, there was some minimization, i.e. his health was impaired. The Lekach Bahir notes that the pronunciation of the word Ach sounds like a person who's retching. And then finally he brings V'yesh Omrim, and there were those, and this is the one we're going to focus in on, Mirtz Hashem, today, who say, this is based on the Medrash, he was injured. Again, this is a limitation of Noach. She'icher, because he delayed giving food to the lion, and the lion attacked him. About Noach, it was said, behold, the righteous one is paid on earth. Where's the basis of this? So going back into 2b, footnote 9, according to this explanation, the word ach is seen as implying that the lion struck Noach because it's the same word used for striking in Shmuel Tedvav. So here you see three interpretations. Interpretation 1, only Noach survived. Interpretation 2, he survived but his health was impaired. Interpretation number 3 is he survived but he was severely injured, right? The lion attacked him for being late. On this, the question the Mefarshim ask, and this is the question Mirtz Hashem we are going to deal with today, and it's a question which is phrased in the Olamosha, it's phrased in many of the Mefarshim, we'll see in source number 4. V'kvar amru chazal kolotan yudber chodesh lo ta'am tam shena. Chazal tell us for that whole year he didn't sleep, right? Just like when you are up feeding a kid, you know, every 2 hours you're feeding a kid. Can you imagine feeding nocturnal animals and animals that need to be fed at all times of day and night? He didn't sleep. Lo Noach v'lo banav, nor him nor his sons. He was busy giving every animal exactly the food he needed. Ubitok halachan avodah, haim efshar lashim en Noach im shachach pam latein ocho laribis banav. Can you really blame him? I'm like, give him a break. Right, well, that's what happened. He got a break. But, like, come on. He is so busy for 12 months, and he didn't even, wasn't that he didn't feed the animal. He was just late in feeding him, and for that he should get attacked, that the righteous is paid in this earth? I mean, it seems to be like, you know, give me a break. The 5 minutes late, is that worthy of the punishment that Noah got? So that's the question that I'd like to raise. Just to give us an insight in some of the approaches in answering this question, let's turn to the last page for a moment. Rav Duner, Migdash HaLevi, Source 43, says, Umlam lamrot hachet hapa'ot, you're right, it seems like it's very small. Lamrot hait rashlut ha'kokach bilti murgeshet nenash noach b'chumra. He's nevertheless punished. Why? Mishum shevoto rega mesuyam bo hayaze tafkido lachil tarieh. Because at that moment, that was his job. His job was to feed the lion, and he did not do what was required of him at that Noah moment. Noah learned that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a tafkid, a mission to a person, alav lavim v'lachush b'chol rega, you have to feel that at this moment, if this is what I need to do, this is then what I have to do. I can't be lazy. I can't put it off. And this is what we have to learn, that our lives are here to do the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And b'chol rega v'rega mimei chayenu, at every moment of our lives, aleinu livchon v'levarer, we have to ask and be able to check, ma mitzapeh meitanu Kadosh Baruch Hu, what does Hashem want from me now? So one approach is, he was only a few minutes late. Yes, that may be so. But if Hashem wants you to be somewhere right now, a few minutes makes a difference. And we know this in life, you know. If a person is in war and someone's shooting at you, to say, you know, in a few minutes I'll shoot back. That's between life and death. When certain things are demanded of you at every moment, then your response has to be every moment. This approach puts a tremendous amount of onus on each and every one of us. Meretz Hashem will pick up on this idea more at length. That's why we're not dealing with it today. Meretz Hashem Parshat Chayesara, how the importance of every single moment and our responsibility for every moment, but the lesson is clear. Another approach, which is also brought in the Sfarim, is brought in the Ish Tamid, Rav Asher Druk, in source 44. And he says, V'yesh lo v'er, Sharei remeh aryeh ramaz l'noach, the lion was giving a message to Noah, Shekevan shekol olam shamem, the whole world is desolate, V'hu aryeh ha'yechidi shenishar v'olamo, there ain't too many lions left in this world, and from him, all the lions that will ever be will be coming from him. So if you're late in feeding him, you're endangering. This is an endangered species. You're endangering his life. And you have a responsibility to make sure that he lives. Therefore, you can't even be late even one time. Because it's not like there was a zillion other lions. And okay, this lion dies. Nishkefer lach. No! He's telling him, there's only two from every non-kosher animal. You better feed me. I have to survive. All the lions need to come for me. And on this furry note, Rav Anu Nishanein Latzmenu Kol La'eit, we, B'nai Torah, the B'nai Yeshiva, says Rav Druk, that we are the lions that are left in Noach's Ark, where both, as the Shemin HaTov points out in 45 from the Holocaust, where we've had such a decimation of a mabul, he says, not a flood of water, but a flood of fire, of total destruction of the Jewish people. There's a responsibility to recreate Torah. There's a responsibility that every person who's learning are the leftover lions, so to speak, and they have to have the lion's share of responsibility of not wasting time, of building up Torah institutions. The Panovich Harav and Rav Kotler were probably prime examples of the lion mentality of saying we have to rebuild Torah after such a destruction. And it's as if those who are involved in learning Torah and disseminating Torah have to see themselves as a lion in the ark, that the survival of Torah is based on them. And this is a fascinating mindset to live with. And with this in mind, the Lekach Balibov in 41 points out, this is what it means, Vayisher Ach Noach, that he quotes here the Chomad Ariel that says, originally Noach was described as a tzaddik tamim. And then he's described as a tzaddik, without tamim. And then it's described as just Noach. And that he's lost even the level of a tzaddik. Forget about the level of a tamim. And the nishar rak noach levad b'li shum livuin. And this is what it means when Rashi says one level, vayishar ach noach, only him. Because when he came into the teva, he lost the level of tamimus. Because he didn't daven for the people. Then he was a tzaddik. But when he was late in feeding the lion, he lost his tzidkus. What was left? Just Noach. And then when he plants the vineyard, Vayachel Noach, that Noach even profaned the Noach that was him, and he was left with nothing. So this is Vayasher Ach Noach. Only Noach was left without the tzaddik tamim because he didn't live up to the expectations that were placed on him. And that brings us to our study today, What was the reason that Noah was put into the ark? What was the message of the lion? And what's the message of the lion for our lives? Hence the title, The Lion's Lesson. So I'd like to, Mirza Sham, look at this, our study today of Parshat Noah, on two levels. One, to see it in the realm of Noah being metake, Noah rectifying for the sin of the community, of why the world was destroyed. And then the second level, to look at this whole experience of being in the Teva, in the Ark, as a tikkun, as rectification for Noah himself as the individual, not so much on the communal level. Let's start on the communal level. What was the problem with the Dor HaMabul that Noah had to come to rectify? So we know, source 5a, Nisiv HaShalom, going back to the first page, why were they destroyed? They were destroyed. The final straw that broke the final the camel's back was the Gezo, was the robbery. Even though they had really debased themselves in a tremendous way. And we know that the Gezo represented, as the Targum points out, they were Baal Chatufim. They were grabbing one from another. This idea of taking that which doesn't belong to them, stealing and grabbing, is the antithesis of giving and helping others. Dinei kasher adam osek b'chesed uv'racham, when you're involved in giving and being concerned for another, the mida k'neged mida, measure for measure, mitorer olam min hashamayim chesed v'rachamim, Hashem will bestow kindness and goodness on a person. As Chazal tells, Gemara and Shabbos, Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, Kol Merachem Al Abrios Merachmim Alav Min Hashemayim. Anyone who has mercy on people, Hashem has mercy on them. And that's why he notes in Siv HaShalom that had the Dor HaMabul, albeit had reached very low levels, but if they were involved in Chesed and Rachamim, they were involved in kindness and doing for others, then that would have protected them from being totally destroyed. But since they were involved in the midah of achzarios, of gezel, of this cruelty, of this taking, they had nothing there to protect them. And that helps us in 5b explain the medrash. And the medrash is found in source 6 in the Hebrew. The medrash which describes that Avraham Avinu met Shem ben Noach, and he asked him, in what schus were you able to be survived the mabul? Hey, Achni Saltim, how were you saved? And Shem answers, Bekorach zeh shasku b'chesed kol hayom, the fact that we were involved in kindness all day, by feeding the animals 24/7, this is what saved us. And you see that when Noah, my father, was late once, wham, that every single moment of our survival was based on doing chesed. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the refuah, the healing, before the Makkah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to push people aside. He doesn't want to destroy the world. And he created a world to do chesed with each other. Had the people at that time tapped into chesed, they would have survived. The Medrash goes on in 6 and says that when Avraham Avinu heard this, he said to himself, if this is the greatness of chesed and this is kindness, chesed to animals, how much more so if one would do chesed to people? And this became then the calling of Avraham Avinu of setting up that Eisha, Lachila, Shtia, Lina, Levaya, of eating, drinking, sleeping, escorting, that Avraham Avinu understood the importance of how Olam Chesed Yibane, the whole world is predicated on chesed, of doing acts of kindness. And indeed, as Rabbi Kluger notes in My Soul Desire, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a giver. He provides and gives to all of his creation. Hashem does not take or receive anything from anyone. No one can ever give him anything. The nature of physical creations is the exact opposite. They are always lacking and in need of things, anxious and seeking to take and receive to fill their needs. The young lion roar for prey and to ask from Hashem their food. We say Baruch Hinafshi. Members of the plant and animal world need air, water, food for their survival and are constantly taking and receiving. At the last stage of the world's creations, Hashem said, let us make man in our image and like our form. And Hashem created man in his image, the image of God. He created him. We spoke about this last week. The human being is physically similar to an animal. Like all creations, he's quote-unquote a taker. He has selfish traits and is concerned about and looking after his own welfare. But he also has a neshama that resembles its creator and has similar attributes to those which Hashem runs the world. The neshama, the soul, wants and loves to give to others. So my friends, we know within us has both of these components. The fact that we are creative in Tzelem Elokim, in the image of God, raises us from the level of the animal of just taking. And animals are no, right? You say this to people, you know, you're eating like an animal, just grab it, right? We eat with dignity. We have halachos of how to eat and derech eretz and proper manners from eating, because there's a human being in us. We're concerned for the other's welfare, right? We feed our animals, we feed ourselves. There is that sense of being able to know how to give and not just to take. That is the challenge in our lives. Which is going to be the stronger element? Is it going to be the animalistic side of us that will just live a life of taking and grabbing? Or is the spiritual, godly side of us going to be more present, where we'll be able to give and look for opportunities of giving? But it goes even beyond that. In Surah 8, the Chavetz Chaim points out the Almighty wants more than acts of chesed. He wants avas chesed. He wants us to love doing chesed. He wants us to care about it. He wants us to feel deprived if we cannot do chesed. This is what it takes to earn the protective shield of the Almighty's hand. The prophet declares in Micha, he has told you, man, what is good and what does he demand of you, but to do justice, love kindly, and walk modestly with God, your Lord. This is radically new idea since the Chavetz Chaim, a very important idea. The Almighty wants more from us than to do acts of kindness. He wants us to love kindness. Avas chesed. Right? The name of the Chavetz Chaim is Sefer on kindness. And most of all, concludes the Chavetz Chaim, and most of us, concludes the Chavetz Chaim, fail in this regard. Most of us do not love chesed sufficiently. We do not embrace it with a passion. This has to be the calling of our lives. This is the Matatio Deo. This is the way to really resemble Kitzalmenu Kitzalmenu, to really resemble God. God is a giver. God is a creator. We too need to be giving and creating. With this in mind, that the people lack this component, they had lost that sense of humanity, they had degraded themselves to the level of total depravity, they lost that Tzelem Elokim. Not only did they lose it in terms of their behavior, they lost it in terms of that sense of priority, of the importance of giving to others, and hence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the world is based on this. If you've lost this, then we have to start the world from scratch. With this, we can appreciate Rav Gifter in Source 9, where when the Teva was created, it says, Kinin Taseta Teva, make the art compartments. Rabbi Yitzchak in the Medrash teaches that the word kain literally means a nest, like Kansipur, alludes to the birds brought by the Metzorah. Just as a bird offering purifies the Metzorah, here's the key line for today, so too do the ark purify its occupants. Creation was an act of chesed. Kindness for Hashem did not need to create the world. The asterisks in 9. He created the world to bestow chesed in order that man do likewise. And it was man's inability to live in harmony that brought about destruction. Rebuilding the world require the same foundation, chesed. And man would have to live in harmony. The occupants of the ark could leave to rebuild the world only when this concept of chesed had become a part of them. Thus, besides providing protection, Source 10, the Ark also served as a school, teaching chesed in harmony to its occupants. Whether looking after one another, attending to the animals' needs, Noah and his family discovered that life in the Ark depended on chesed. And that's why Hashem was the only one who could tell them when to leave the Ark. He was the only one who could scrutinize and judge. Vayeskor Elokim and Hashem, Elokim remembered the aspect of judgment when they had sufficiently learned their lesson, that even after the waters receded, they had to be able to stay in that ark until they had learned this lesson of what giving was all about. And now we understand in Source 11, the Sifte Chaim explains that the question that Avraham Avinu was asking Shem ben Noach is, why did Hashem specifically save you in this way? Why not, for example, we know Eretz Yisrael wasn't in the flood. Why didn't he just put you in Eretz Yisrael and the animals could be roaming around and you'd live a very peaceful life? You know, you'd have a vacation for a year, take a hammock, You sit in Eretz Yisrael, you sit and learn Torah, whatever Torah they had. It would be a wonderful year. Like, you know, he would just, you know, sit and enjoy the year. Why is it that they had to dafka be in the, they dafka were saved, specifically saved in this way? Umadua sazo dafka v'derech zu, she'itzricha amal v'avodah kashem etzidem, b'meshach shana shleima. Why did they have to work so hard? And the answer is, because Hashem wanted to rebuild the world on Chesed. Olam Chesed Yibane. Hainu the asterisk in 11. Shekiyum ha'olam hibizchus ha'chesed. The survival of the world is in the merit of Chesed. And that's why kiyumam v'tzaltam shaloch banav v'teva v'zchud yitatzkam v'maisa ha'chesed. That's the only way they were able to survive was to do Chesed. Because as we saw, again in 12, Rav Dessler, their sin was kimalaretz chamas v'pneihem. They grabbed from each other, and Noach had and his family to rectify the problem of that generation. They were there as a rectification, as a purification, as to be able to fix what the root problem was. The root problem was a lack of sharing, a lack of sensitivity to one another, to the extent that they had absolutely lost that Tzelem Elokim, that divine image, and therefore what they had to do was work on the idea of chesed to the nth degree for the entire year, not sleeping, 24/7 involved in chesed to be able to flex that muscle and to teach us the primacy of chesed that we need to build our own mini worlds on this, which Yemirtz Hashem will talk about in a few minutes. And what was the avodah of chesed in 13? Continues Siftei Chaim, Shel Noach ubanav lo ita avodah shikhamsa rak benetina. It wasn't just giving, but they had to know the different characteristics of the different animals, and they had to know how to feed each animal, right? Some animals you put the food right in front of them. Some animals you have to put it farther away. Some animals you have to stay there with them when you give the food. Other animals you have to leave. They had to be sensitive to each and every animal, when they needed to be fed, how they needed to be fed. And that's what we have to understand. That when we are involved in doing chesed, it has to be in this degree of sensitivity. Indeed, Rav Volpe in Alei Shur in Source 14, in his Kuntras HaChesed, in Vad Rishon, points out that the basis, the pasuk, that for which we learn Chesed, is Ki patoach tiftach et yadcha lo, you should open your hands, v'avei tivitenu dei machzorol sheyachzar lo, and you give a loan, you give out to everyone asher yachzar lo what they're missing. And we've spoken about in the past the double language of patoach tiftach. Why is it open your hand twice? I had a famous idea of the Gra that when your hand is closed, all the fingers look the same. When your hand is open, you see they all have different sizes. That's day machzaro sher yachzar lo. Give every person what they are missing. Every person needs whatever is missing to them. And that's the challenge of what chesed is. It's not one size fits all. A person's needing a wife, that's a chesed for him. A person's needing a parnasa, that's a chesed for him. A person's needing advice, that's a chesed for him. A person needs medical attention, that's a chesed for him. This is what the godless of chesed is. It's be able to give to every single person what they need when they need it. This was the lesson that Noah had to learn. And now I understand why he gets punished so severely. Lev Eliyahu Rav Lopian in Source 16. V'ulai yesh lesbir shechetur amabu von sho hayakim oshekatu bepasuk kibalaret chamas. The reason why they were destroyed because everyone was thinking about themselves and not about another. And therefore Hashem had to rectify this by bringing the mabul. And listen to what he says here. And as we saw, the saving of the mabul was only in the schus of chesed, in the merit of kindness, as we've seen over and over again. Double underline bracket. V'chol zman shemabul haya. As long as the flood was there and the waters were still there. Umidas hadin tava avor bitul chesed. The midas hadin, the attribute of justice, is screaming, we have to make sure that we're sensitive to kindness. When you have that level of Midas Hadin functioning in the world at this moment, you can't take a break, you can't take off. And that's why Noah had to be involved in every single minute for Chesed. Ah, you're saying to me he only messed up once? I don't care. That one mess up is not just a mess up in feeding the lion, it's a mess up in building the intricacies of this new world. It's a mess up in Chesed. It's a mess up in the whole tapestry. You know, if any of you sew, you know, and you stitch, make one stitch in the wrong way, you take a look at it, it looks terrible, right? You see it, it's glaring. The whole world is being re-sewn here, being late. Two, giving the lion food is messing up in the chesed. It's messing up in building the new world. And hence the Midas Hadin, the attribute of justice, immediately punishes Noah right here and now. And his punishment is such that he becomes lame and is unable to offer sacrifices. Shem ben Noah becomes the Malkitzedek, the one who's a Kohen Le'el Elyon. He loses the right, the privilege, of being able to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. This shows you how the whole dynamics of the ark was just based on one principle, Chesed. Had he messed up in another area, maybe perhaps he wouldn't have gotten punished this way. But since the whole Inyan of Midas Hadin was because they didn't practice Chesed, they had to go above and beyond in the aspect of Chesed to reestablish the world. If we look at this perhaps a little bit of on a deeper level, what was the chisara, what was missing, what was lacking, perhaps, in Noah that he was late a few minutes to this lion? So the Torah Yoshiyahu, source 17, Rav Pinto, notes that we know about Noah on the beginning of the parsha of Sadiq Tamim Hayah B'Doratav, that he was a tzaddik, he was Tamim, he was whole, B'Dorotav, in his generation. So Rehuda said, specifically in his generation, he was a tzaddik. Had he lived in the generation of Moshe, or in the generation of Shmuel, he wouldn't have been considered such a tzaddik. Come on, he just spent a year giving to these animals. Obviously, he's a tremendous tzaddik. What was missing in Noah's personality? So Rav Pinto wants to argue, and it's a very important yesod for us. We know that when Noah built the ark, he did rebuke the people. People would say, why are you building an ark? And he said, God's going to bring a flood in 120 years. You better repent. But he didn't do it on his own initiative. Hashem told him to do it. And because he was involved in building the ark, he gave rebuke. But he did nothing on his own initiative to bring about the people being saved. Compare this to Avram Avinu, whose whole being and like the whole gestalt of his being was to take initiative and go above and beyond. So, for example, when he hears about Shem ben Noach saying they survived because they gave kindness to the animals, so Avraham Avinu could have just stepped back and said, oh, that's a nice idea. Or he could have even been on the level of Noach and say, oh, let me start, you know, the Society for the Protection of Animals. What does Avraham Avinu do? He learns a Kal Vachomer. He learns an Eforiorte. If for animals, how much more so for people? And he goes out and he builds those inns. The initiative, the foresight, the taking that extra step, that's what marks Avraham Avinu over Noach. When Avraham Avinu hears that stone is going to be destroyed, Hashem doesn't say, okay, now time to daven. Please daven. No. He takes his own initiative to daven. When he's even sick and he's third day after circumcision, he runs to do this mitzvah of achnasat orchim, of inviting in the guests. That's the mark of a greatness of a person. The way he says this is to have the mesiras nefesh. Devar baruhu she'ikar, I'm in the asterisk 19, the bottom part of 20 rather. She'ikar hatzlochas ha'adam, the success of a person, b'kiyum ha-mitzvah, in doing our mitzvahs, u'b'limud ha-Torah, and in learning. Ba'ayidei shemit ameit. You take that imutz, you take that strength. U'mishtadel lo sif o b'kiyum mitzvos. You take that initiative, you try to go above and beyond. And in that way, you reach greatness. You don't satisfied with mediocrity. You're not satisfied with living an apathetic life. How can I be better? How can I improve? What way can I see this and be able to do it better? And you know where you see a great proof of this, he says? At the end of our parsha, when Noah gets drunk and he's lying in a very inappropriate position in his tent, and his two sons come and take the blanket and, you know, walk backwards to cover their father. The pasuk says, "Vayikach shem v'yafer et asimla v'yisim al shem shnehem," and he, shem and yafet, took the blanket. It doesn't say vayichu plural vayikach, so we know that shem took that initiative first, and yafet joined him. Shem, as a result, gets the mitzvah of tzitzis, and he gets the mitzvah of tefillin. Yafet gets the mitzvah of being buried, burial in Eretz Yisrael. Because Shem took the initiative, he gets mitzvahs that both grant him protection in this world and the next. Yafet, who doesn't take the initiative, he follows the law. He's a Noah personality. He only gets rewarded in this world, not in the next world. This is what is dependent on us. We need to take initiative. We need to push ourselves above and beyond. Ah, give me a break. Noah tried. So what we're saying here is that he may have tried, but if he was a person of initiative, he would have ensured that this wouldn't have happened. Particularly as the O Moshe notes, that maybe in regular circumstances, his philosophy is okay. Aval kishiroim mabula la'aretz, when you see the world is being destroyed, az yishno tviyala adam l'malo mikokotav, then you can't have apathy. You gotta go above and beyond. When there is destruction outside, then there's a whole new world order. And you have to do above and beyond your capabilities. This is what we see about Noah. Noah's attitude, Noah, what his name is, what he's about. Complacency, resting. It's not about taking that initiative of Avraham, that Av, he's the father of the Hamon Goyim, he's the prince, the Nasi Elokim Bekirbenu. It's a difference in mentality. But the difference is the difference between Avravinu being the Av Ha'uma and Noah just, fading away in history, so to speak. Having said that, the demand on Noah is even greater when there is a Mabul. When there is no one else around and you're the only one here, then for sure you got to step to the plate and go above and beyond. What do we learn from this for our lives? So I think clearly the message on the first level, where Noah is here to be able to atone for his generation, he did so by chesed. When you mess up on the very area you're getting atonement, that's where he gets punished so severely. He should have reached that level of Avraham Avinu. He should, in all cases, in a time like this, move above and beyond. And I think what he's teaching us, and what we need to learn, is the primacy of chesed in our lives. The Chochmah HaMatzpun, quoting from the Or Tzafon, notes, Av shelo nitztava tzarichu lagi lidei hakarazu. Even if nobody told Noach, you know, chesed is a very important thing, it was something he should have intuited himself. By ayidei yistaklut makifa b'marchavei abriya, just look at the creation, and look at every creation is dependent on every other. How the sun comes out in the middle of the day to, you know, bring food, and how the trees bear fruit, and the rain comes down. The whole world is predicated on chesed. Hilchot chesed tzarich adam l'mol mikol nivra v'nivra. You see how one animal helps another animal. This is something that is like so obvious that if you just open your eyes, you see the whole world is based on chesed. 24 of al yeshnashkafa yoter makava yoter shira. But there's a deeper understanding of chesed that we need to integrate in ourselves. And that is chesed shel nivrei no misamelta chesed ra'ui le'adam ha'olyo. Torah Chesed Tarichu Lumod Eitzel Mekor HaChesed Mahu Afata. You want to know what real Chesed is? You want to know the Chesed, the level of kindness that we should aspire to? It's to imitate Hashem. 25, this is based on the Pasuk, to walk in all His ways. The Gemara tells us, just as He is compassionate, so you shall be compassionate. He does kindness, so you shall do kindness. Rashi also explains the word, you shall cleave to Him. To mean to cleave to His ways, do kindness, bury the dead, visit the sick, as Hashem did. Hashem commands us to perform kindness and give to others, for that is the only way we connect to our soul, the divine part in us, and thus cleave to Hashem and His midos. This is what we need to understand. And this in 26 in the arrow, V'zoi chavato shel adam lidam alukona. You want to know why you're here in this world? It's to emulate God. V'im lo mile chavato, pogem hu et atzmo, v'sholel et godlo v'tifarto. And if you don't live up to this expectation of emulating Hashem, there's a defect in you. You're missing something. Your tzelem elokim is chaser. And that is why, when Noah is missing a little bit, he's missing a shlemus in himself. What does it mean that the lion came to bite him? What it's saying is that the lion is coming to bite him. It's saying, Noah, you can't be whole. You're missing something. If you are unable to reach this level of doing chesed shalem, of complete chesed, of being able to ensure that everyone is fed, just like Hashem feeds every person at the right time, when they need it, this is what we need to aspire to. It's a chesed in 24 of Baifa speaks about, that Avraham Avinu was telling people, we don't do chesed just because you feel bad. You do chesed to emulate Hashem, and just like Hashem shines the sun on the tzaddikim as well as the rishayim, that's why you have to do chesed with everybody. Avraham Avinu brought the people to a new level of chesed. It's a chesed that connects you to Amuna Bahashem, L'shem Shamayim. Is it any wonder that the paradigm of chesed is the first person to be a magnet, to believe in Hashem? And the Sfarim say that Ruach, who's a convert, is the sefer which talks about the reward of chesed. Because chesed and belief in Hashem are haynu hach. It's the two luchos in 28 that are even. The ben adam l'chaveiro and ben adam l'mako, between man and man and man and God. Because everything is about God. It's about bringing godliness in this world. It's about emulating God on every step of the way. And that's why 29 and 30, L'titchel Yom brings down this idea of being a shamish, this idea of serving the world, whether it's Avraham Avinu who serves his guests, and examples in the Gemara of big rabbis who serve their guests. Why? Because to serve another person is what the world is about. It's about giving to others. It's about chesed. It's not about saying, well, you know, I'm so great, you know, let somebody else do this. And what is this really predicated on? Listen closely in 30. Malat HaShemesh, and that's why Yeshua was chosen. He was a Masharei. He was the one who served Moshe Rabbeinu. He Shehu Mevatel Et Atzmo Legamrei L'Toelet Acherim. He gives himself completely to others. The kol kulo omer chesed, his entire being is about giving. Adam she'aseh chesed, yisha'er b'chashivuto hatzmi v'lo yivatel et atzmo. Adayin lo egilu madragat shamash. If a person does chesed and he still feels a self, then he hasn't gotten it completely. Ki yesh lo adayin mitziur atzmi. V'lamrot shubah madragat tzmo, even if you're at a very high level. About chesed amidot tovo, avo madragat shamash lo egia. Ki shem shus nikra matzav shani makir batzmi v'chashivuti v'ani mevatel tatzmi legamrei. What it means to really serve and to emulate Hashem is that I am lost in the picture. And everything I'm doing is for others, and what is missing for them is what I would like to fill in. This is the level of chesed that we're talking about here, my friends. Ah, you'll say to me, but aren't we supposed to have a self? Yes, we're supposed to have a self in order to emulate God. And the greatest way to have a self, a Moshe Rabbeinu, giving himself over, Mecheinina Mesifrecha, erase me from your book, is to realize that there are other people with their needs. Now, obviously, there is parameters and guidelines, but we're so careful not to lose self that we go on the side of erring, of self-protection, sometimes at the expense of others. And again, it's a fine balance. You know, the example, and this is why these people are known as great people, because it's hard for us to do this. It's a story we've mentioned before, but we'll bring it here again because it's contemporary and important. The story of Rebbe Tzimachlis that her husband told at her funeral about that beggar at the Kotel who would come to their house and enjoy her homemade pizza made out of whole wheat flour. And she taught him over and over again how to make it. And how he comes into their inner part of their house that no one entered at the early hours of the morning, banging on their door. And Rabbi Machlis asked, is everything okay? And it was this man. He says, I forgot how to make this pizza. Could the Rebbetzin teach me it? Right, Machlis says, I was ready to take this guy and throw him. Because that's our human reaction, self. It's the middle of the night. It's 3 a.m. Rebbetzin Machlis says, leave him alone. I'll get dressed and I'll teach him how to make the pizza again. That's moving beyond self. That's emulating the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the goal that we have to learn. And I'll tell you, my friends, it starts with our own families. To be able to give to others in our families what their needs are. And it's so stressful. You have this deadline and that deadline, and you have to pick up this kid and do that errand. To be able to give what people need. And be able to be sensitive to what people's needs are. And to be able to be like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, somebody who's giving, without constantly standing there saying, well, you didn't say thank you to me. And you know you didn't do this for me, so why should I do that for you? We've missed the boat. Olam chesed yibane, to be a Baal chesed is imatati odeo. It's to tap into that Tzelem Elokim within us, that godly part within us, and it takes work. It doesn't come naturally. What's more natural is the animal part within us. What am I getting out of it? What do they do for me? Why should I do that for them? That's the natural part. The godly part takes work. Is to say, even if they didn't recognize it, and even if I taught him a zillion times how to make that, you know, whole wheat pizza, I'm going to teach him again. And that, perhaps, my friends, is the message of why Dafka, the lion of all animals, on this first level of lion's lessons, bit him. Be strong as a lion, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, right? Gibor ka'ari laso ritzon avicha shemashemayim. Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Consider not your personal will to find security and popularity, but the will of your Father in heaven, and to act with a lion's courage. Do what you're ordained to do. That's what it's about. The lion has that ability of strength, and that's what it takes from within us, to be able to quell down all those voices. But, what am I getting out of it? I'm going to be a shmata, wabba. Again. Every person has to know themselves. Every person has to know a level they're on and can't pretend to be Rebbetzin Kanievsky if you're not. You'll resent it. And then you won't have Avas Chesed. You won't love Chesed. You know, they say that the quality, the children said the quality of Rebbetzin Kanievsky was sevlonos, was patience, able to listen to every single person. If you don't have that quality and you're trying to force it on yourself and you try too hard, you're going to resent it. You have to know where you're at. It takes a Gibur Ka'ari. And this was a message that the lion was telling Noah. As great as you are, Noah, you had to be even greater. Yiskavir Ka'ari. The whole world is riding on you. The whole world is being developed now with Chesed. When you are a few minutes late, you didn't reach the level that you were capable of reaching. The level you needed to reach in this emergency situation. And hence the message, you can no longer serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu on the highest of levels. You have missed out on your special opportunity to be the great person that a Kadosh Baruch Hu envisioned. Just like to add one nekuda, one idea on this level. If we say that Noah was here to rectify the problem of the Mabul, which was Chesed, we now understand Rav Zadel Epstein, Zatzal, and Sefer Ha'aros, a very interesting Baal HaTurim in 34. The Baal Turim says, "Vayishaer ach Noach ein miyur achar miyur ella l'rabot." Lomar she'af og nishar ach Noach begematria og. When you have a double negative, it's a positive. Vayishaer means, and he was left, which is negative, left. Ach only, he only was left. which is a double negative, means that somebody else was left. Who was left? The famous giant who ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu kills, Og Melech HaBashan. And Ach Noach is the same numerical value as Og. We know Chazal tell us, this is brought in the Yonasan Ben Uziah, Perkid Valley Pasuk Gimel, that he was riding on the outside of the ark. There was like a chuppah, a canopy over him, and he survived the war, he survived the Mabel, and Noah had a little hole which he was able to feed him during that, during the time they were in the flood. So the question Sefer Aruch asks is, well, if Im Kfar Azkfar, if you're ready, you're going to save him, then just put him in the ark, right? It's miraculous as is, as Rabban points out, to have all the animals in the ark. So you add a giant, what's the big deal? And the answer is that Og really wasn't worthy of being saved. He was just like the rest of his generation, therefore he had a ride outside the Mabel, outside of the ark in the flood waters. However, Og has one redeeming quality which we see later, and that is, albeit with personal agenda, he went to tell Avram that Lot was taken captive, right? We know that he really wanted Avram to die in the war, to marry Sarah, etc. But he did this act of chesed with his mouth, by telling, by avo palif, by again, he told Avram that Lot was taken captive. Therefore, his mouth was worthy of being given food and saved at this particular time. And you see here, and this is what we have to understand, is that because Og had this quality of chesed, of kindness, Og was saved in the Mabel, because this is a quality that ensured them to be saved. And we see here that, yes, we're aiming for the highest of the high, but one shouldn't say, well, if I can't reach the highest of the high, let me just throw in the towel and give up, like I can barely feed my family, you want me to feed the world? Right. You're not there? Great. Feed your family. That's what Sochev said. Do whatever you can do, but do it besimcha. Do it with love. Even the small acts of kindness you do are worthy of protection, worthy of saving. However, our challenge, our job is to try as much as possible that when we do chesed, to say, I am emulating Hashem. Just like Hashem doesn't expect anything in return, I don't expect anything in return. Just like Hashem doesn't get anything out of it, I don't expect to get anything out of it. Just like Hashem is nice to everybody, I'll be nice to everybody. To train in our mindset this, you know, almost like over and over again, let me see how when I do acts of kindness, whether with a child, whether with a neighbor, whether with a friend, that I'm doing it to imitate a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not doing it just because I feel bad, that bring myself to a higher level of chesed. So that's the first level. That Noah was here to rectify the sin of his generation, the problem of his generation, and he wasn't able to act out on it 100%, he's therefore so severely punished. The second level, very briefly, is that Noah has to go through the ark as a tikkun atzmo, as a personal rectification. We know Rav Asher Weiss on the Parsha 37, quote, when Hashem said to him, behold, I'm about to bring the floodwaters, I will blot out existence. When Hashem told Noah that he and his sons would survive, Noah failed to pray on behalf of the world, and everything was destroyed as a result. For this reason, the floodwaters were called by his name, as admitted, Pasuk in Yeshayah, for they are the waters of Noah, the Mei Noah before me, and I swore never again to bring the Mei Noah, the waters of Noah. Although Noah was perfectly righteous in his own affairs, he was called to account for failing to pray on behalf of the sinners of the generation, that they might be forgiven and spared from destruction. Those who explain the expression righteous in generation to demonstrate Noah's sole fault, compared to Avram, who prayed on behalf of the wicked sinners of stone. What was Noah's problem? The problem was an inyan of tefillah. He didn't daven. He was, you know, okay, so I'll be survived, great. But unlike Avraham, as we saw, who davened for the people of stone, albeit they were also wicked. They also thought about themselves. Same problem. Noah doesn't pray. Here the Be'er Moshe, the Yosher Rav HaRevi, brings a gevaldic insight in 38. Darshu Chazah, our rabbis teach us, Vayizkor Elokim et Noah. What did Hashem remember? That he was in the Teva feeding the animals for all these years. Now, Ach Kevan Shenoach Lo Yitpalel Al Doro, Kamru Chazal, Nimsa Shechaser Midah Rachaser. Says the Be'er Moshe, Why did he have to be involved? Then Hashem would remember him and he'd survive doing acts of kindness. Noah was a kind person. He was a giving person. No. Yes. Noah was missing something else in the realm of kindness. We've been looking at kindness as, you know, making a food for another person, helping out, giving somebody a ride. There's another area of kindness, and that is Shematzinu Shaftfila Alatzmo Yechlela Bikimilus Chasadim. Davening for yourself is included as a chesed. Ve'iyun tefila hainu b'chalal k'milus chasadim. Gomel nafsho ish chesed. A pasuk in Mishlei. You want to do a kindness to yourself? Then you gomel nefesh. Nefesh hainu tefila is to daven. V'chol shechein, how much more so? Tefila ala cheirim shebevadahi k'milus chesed. For sure, when you daven for others, that's a kindness. Now I understand. Why did Noah have to feed the animals? He wasn't just recreating the world on chesed and rectifying the people. He was rectifying his own sin. He had a pegam, a lack of chesed. He wasn't on the level of davening for the people where he should have been. And therefore, to train him to do chesed was training him to think about others and not about himself, where ultimately, and we'll see in a minute, yes, that he does go out and think about and daven for the world. And that is why in this very area where he needs to have a personal rectification in giving and doing chesed, when he messes up in that, he is punished. Because this is his key for survival. Chesed is the way he's going to get forgiven for the lack of davening for the people, because davening is also a chesed. So when he messes up, says it to Rak Yoshiyahu in 39, in this area, he is punished in this very area, and hence he is unworthy to now become the Kohen Le'el Elyon, to become the one who's going to serve God, because he has not fully, was not able to fully metaken himself in this area, and therefore lost that opportunity. And now we can appreciate in source 40 why Dafka the lion was the one to come to bite him. Rav Levenstein in the Sefer Matoka Or, first time using it, very sweet Sefer, he quotes the Gemara that says that five things they said about the fire on the Mizbeach, and one of them is Rivutza Ka'ari, that it was crouching like a lion. And another interpretation says it was crouching like a dog. The answer is the difference between the first temple period and the second temple period. What does this mean? A lion, because of its stature, no one starts up with it at all. It is a full protection for the people. And hence, in the first Bais Rishon, there was a full protection from the people sinning. There was a protection when the Beis HaMikdash around, the people shouldn't even come to sin. The first Beis HaMikdash is described like a lion. A dog, which is the second Beis HaMikdash, has the ability to wake up its master, but doesn't have the ability to fully protect its master. And that's the second Beis HaMikdash. It aroused us to do tshuva, but didn't have this protection. Noach naha kivyocho kmo lekelev. Noah was like the dog. He wasn't able to protect his generation. He tried to arouse them, but he wasn't like the lion, able to protect them through his tefillah. And therefore, the lion biting him, says the Rami Oshpra Vatsa, that Rav Levenstein quotes, is that this is why the lion comes to bite him. The lion is saying, you had the opportunity to protect your generation. You had the opportunity to daven for your generation, and you missed out on this opportunity. And that's why when Noah comes out of the ark, he does daven. And in fact, in 42, the Lekach Valibuv notes, Vayizkor Elokim Shenefcha Midas Adin L'Rachamim Ayidei Tefillah. What does Hashem remember? The power of tefillah. Vayishaer Ach Noach is the same gematria of tefillah. Shayidei tefillah Nishar Noach. It was through his davening, ultimately learning this lesson, that Noach is able to survive. My friends, our final idea for today, and I think this is it. Let's see what we've seen, and we'll end with one gevaldic idea. Why was Noah so harshly punished? Well, we saw this was his opportunity, he lost it. every moment we have something to do. If you miss the moment, right, or an award, that's it. Goodbye, good luck. Or it was the last lion. You can't be late for the last lion. The two approaches we took, that Noah is rectifying the generation, the lack in that generation was they lacked sensitivity to another. They just grabbed, they were using their base animalistic parts, not their godly part, therefore they were destroyed. Noah had to rebuild the world. He had to re-sow the world that had to be built on chesed. And because it was built on chesed, that lack, that flaw was so glaring that if he was even late for a few minutes for that lion, he's immediately punished, because this is what the whole Savior is about, was predicated on chesed. They weren't just saved on a little island, you know, sitting on a hammock drinking a martini. They had to work for it. They had to rebuild the world in chesed, because that is what the world is about. And chesed is really about, in Matatio Deo, being able to be kind to everybody, to be welcoming to everybody, to be able to be sensitive to other people, because I and they are created in the image of God. On the second level, Noah had to rectify his specific problem, and that was also a lack of chesed. What was the lack of chesed? He didn't daven for the people. Davening is a chesed. Davening is a way of doing kindness to others. And because he lacked that, he had to be in an environment of giving and giving to teach him the importance of sensitivity of others, to daven for others. And since this was his tikkun, his own individual rectification, when he messed up, he was immediately punished, and he was no longer able to be in that job. He lost that opportunity to be the Kohen Elyon, to be that position that Melchizedek, ultimately his son, Shem ben Noach, took over. Vayisharach Noach, ultimately, he learns that lesson. The lesson of the lion on the first level, the Yisgaber Ka'ari, you got to overcome. It takes work, it takes effort to imitate Hashem, to be on that level of chesed. But that's what's demanded of us. That's what we should aim for. On the second level, albeit like Og, we're rewarded for all acts of chesed. On the second level, the lion is a model of protection, and he lost that protection. Comes along of Elia Lopian in 40b and teaches us a gevaldic lesson. And this, I think, is the message for us to walk away with as the lion's lesson. He says, Nachzor l'inyaneinu l'lamei l'atzvinu. Maybe we can't be a Rebbe Tzimachlis. Maybe we can't open a soup kitchen to feed thousands of people. Maybe we can't open a Chabad house. Maybe we can't do all those things. But all of us have some act of chesed that's in our capability to do. V'hiya tefila, and that's davening. U'kishadam omeid u'ipalel lifnei kono, and we stand in front of God and we say, V'omer, barech aleinu et hashana hazo. Please, Hashem, bench this land, which is a bracha for parnasa. It's a bracha for people to have sustenance. They say it's also a bracha for children. It's a bracha for goodness in this world. It's written in the plural, Hare kulam bechlal. And if a person is involved, b'tztaka imabriyo, u'bilvad shechavein libo kara'uwe, you want to do stucco for the world? You want to imitate Hashem, and that Hashem is kind to the whole world? Hazanet, and you know, alam kulo bichvoldo. You want to also satiate the world? You want to also give to the world? I'll tell you how. It's being able to daven for the world. But to have that kavanah, says Revelia, to have that thought process. When I say barech aleinu to stop, and I'm thinking about the whole world should be sustained by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's a chesed. Reina Hashem v'anyenu, let Hashem see our pain, all of our collective pain. Rifa'inu Hashem, heal all of us collectively. That's a chesed. That's a chesed that benefits the entire world. That's a chesed that's all inclusive. And if you have the right mindset, that's our way of doing chesed. And says Rav Elia, if you come late to davening, and by extension, I believe we can add, you have opportunities to daven. There's Tehillim going on. So even if you don't make it to the Tehillim, you're saying Tehillim in your house. There are people to daven for. You hear sick people. You have an opportunity to grab, to daven for somebody else. And you miss that opportunity, says Rav Elia, you're like the lion. You're like Noah who's late to feed the lion. The ramifications are very great. When you have that opportunity open for you, somebody says, you know what, they're saying Tehillim right now. Okay, so you can't make it to Tehillim, but you open up a book right then and there, you've grabbed the opportunity. Ah, I'll get to it. We know what it means to get to it. Vayisherach Noach. Ah, that tefillah is missing in the world, and it can't be replaced. That's the lesson of the lion, that each and every one of us has the ability to do chesed of davening. There's nothing stopping us from emulating Hashem. And in that way, we indeed can be like the lion. Yiskaber Kari, let us take that initiative when it's given to us to daven, and we can then turn into the lion in the form of protection, like the lion crouching on the Mizbeach, on the altar. And through our tefillos, through our Tehillim, through our beseeching collectively, Klal Yisrael, we have the ability to indeed be that level of protection, be that model that Noah was lacking, and learn from his lack to be able to be like an Avraham Avinu, to daven for others, to take initiative to help others. And in that way, we have learned the lesson of Noah's limitation, and we make sure that we don't fall into the same pitfall that Noah fell into.